Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the conversation, the chat room is busy. Come on in, say hello, be nice to each other. Why not? Why not? Oh my goodness, what a great life I am having. I'm going to share a little kind of news with you guys. Probably going to cut the show short today, and you'll understand why in a few minutes. Man, I'm telling you, the weather here has been just outstanding. Some warm days, some cloudy days, a little passing rain, water's the garden. We've been saving, I was going to say, a ton of money on water, but we don't pay for it because we're on a well, and nobody's figured out to tax it here yet, but I'm sure they will. It's just a matter of time. My wife and I were just having dinner right before the show together because, of course, now I have Wednesdays off. So we get a little time before I come on the show. And the kids and grandkids went to Salem, which is about 35 miles away, to catch a friend at an open mic event. She's singing and playing the guitar, and they're going to go down and support her. So we're here home alone and enjoying life, man. And we were just kind of sharing these ideas of how much we enjoy our life here. And you know, it's easy to get caught up in all the crap of the world. It really, truly is. You know, you hear about stuff every day. You see stuff every day. One way or another, you get exposed to the evil in the world every single day. And you really got to take some time out just to count your blessings, man, whatever they are. You know, that you have a roof over your head, that you have a little spot somewhere in the world where you can go find some peace and tranquility. You know, for us, it's right here. I mean, when we think about going on like a vacation, we always are kind of like, why? I mean, we have everything right here. It's kind of like a little park. If we wanted to camp out, we could camp out and be, you know, comfortable right here, have all the amenities, have this beautiful view, beautiful piece of property. Thank God for that. You know, you have to take time out to really just count your blessings, you know, be thankful that you have food, that you have water, that you have shelter, that you have family. And I just couldn't be more thankful, honestly, even though, like, in the last 2 weeks, my mom passed away. There's some story there, you know. I wasn't her favorite by any means, okay? I was her least favorite, and that's okay. Her and I have made peace. Well, I shouldn't speak for her. I made peace with her in the last year, and I'm fine with that. And yeah, it sucks to lose your parent. I'm sure some of you have and some of you haven't. It's going to suck no matter what, even though I was the least favorite. And I honestly have some theories why. It doesn't really matter, does it? So anyway, I'm good with that. And, you know, we sit here in this beautiful place. We're fortunate enough to be able to help other people out when we can. We usually don't give money to people who are begging, but I got to tell you something. So this past weekend, we were in town, the town that's closest by, 15 miles away. And there was a husband and wife with three kids. And he was playing an accordion, which, of course, Rochelle loves the accordion because it's like polka music. I mean, you can play polka music on an accordion. It's kind of, you know, that's kind of the instrument of choice for polka, I guess, one of them. Anyway, and he was playing music. They were, it doesn't matter what they were. They were there, and he was playing music, and they had a sign out, family and hard times, you know, anything will help. And I just pulled up and gave him $20, man. It was like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. People are hurting, you know, and, you know, I'm not, yeah, I prejudge people just like anybody else, you know. We all kind of prejudge people. Like, I had a friend who once told me, hey, if people are begging you for something like food or money or a place to stay, basically they've burnt every other bridge in their life. And so I think about that once in a while before I just, you know, hand out money. But, you know, in this case, it was like, hey, there's going to be a lot of people having some hard times. So, yeah, I should be live, Romes and Vinny. I don't know. Should be. I got somebody else listening, so, yeah, should be live. Anyway, yeah, so I gave them some money. I hope it helped. I hope they got some food for the day. These three little kids, man, they were, you know, what, probably 2, 4, and 6, something like that, years old. So, yeah, if you restart your player or the browser or something, it should be live. I see live feed going on, so I think we're good. Anyway, yeah, so my wife and I are just sitting here, man. I mean, I took some time. We went to town today together. I'll tell you why in a minute. But we spent some of the day today. I had to go to the Northwest Armory, great, fantastic gun shop that's about, I don't know, 25, 30 miles away from here. Because I had to pick up my non-assault version of a Glock 9mm. Now, for you lefties out there who like to listen into the show, I'm going to tell you, when you go in the gun store, if you just ask them, just say, hey, I'd like a non-assault weapon, they'll guide you to the right place. Like, they'll show you some non-assault weapons, and they'll steer you away from the ones that assault, you know. So you can be safe. I just kind of had to check a box. Hey, I'm looking for a Glock 9mm non-assault weapon. And then, sure enough, I got the non-assault weapon variety, and it's fantastic, I'm telling you. It'll be safe and sound. You know, I've had guns for, I'm fairly certain my entire adult life I have had firearms of one kind or another. There's never been a gap in my possession of firearms. yeah, because it's important to have firearms. It's important to be able to defend yourself and your home. You know, and all of my guns, as long as I've had them, not one single one of those guns, because I always buy the non-assault variety, they have not assaulted me or anybody else. There was a couple times that I came close to assaulting somebody else, but my guns have never assaulted me or anybody else, which is awesome. You know, that's what you want in your house. You want to have a nice, safe environment. You want non-assault weapons in your home whenever you have, you know, guns in your home. The non-assault variety is the way to go. Yeah, that was a fun trip. And Rochelle got to go to her favorite place, one of her favorite places, and she got a haircut finally. And it was kind of funny because she was telling the hairdresser about, you know, having me cut her hair and having her daughter cut her hair. And the hairdresser was like, yeah, we're calling this the A-line era because everybody, you know, would just pull up their hair and have somebody cut it off. And so now everybody's kind of getting back into the regularly scheduled hair appointments. And Rochelle got to go get her hair done and then go shopping at one of her favorite places. And we just spent the day together and then came home. Oh, I got to tell you a horrifying story. Man, it's awesome being a grandpa. I mean, it's great being a parent, but being a grandpa, you really gotta have some patience and some understanding. And so I'm gonna tell you guys this. So the youngest grandson, the second to the youngest grandchild, he wanted to make some money because, of course, Grandpa got a new drone. I got the DJI Mavic Air 2 drone, and of course, grandson, he wants one, a drone, just a drone. He just wants a kid's drone, so he needed $20, and he was asking about, you know, wanting to make money so he could buy this drone. So I was like, okay. I said, well, my motorcycles need to be washed. I go, you want to wash my motorcycles? And oh yeah, he wanted to wash them. So I set him up with the car washing stuff, and I showed him, you know, don't use this scratchy sponge. Use this nice soft sponge. Okay, Papa, I got it. Okay, and here's your bucket of sudsy water, and here's the hose. And he came and got me a couple times and asked me to check. And I went out there and checked, and, you know, he'd missed, like, the whole rims weren't even washed. They go, no, you got to wash this metal part of the rim, you know, the tires, not the rubber part. Don't worry about that. Just do the rims. So it was my Harley and my dual sport Suzuki. And the dual sport's the one that was dirtiest because, of course, I've been riding it most and picking up dirt and mud and whatever. Anyway, so I went out there a couple times and pointed out where he had missed some things, and he got it done, you know. And for the final check, oh, God, for the final check, I go out there, and I'm looking at my Harley, and the tank is scratched to beat hell. Like, it has, like, these spiral scratches in it and some vertical scratches in it. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I didn't want to be upset at him because, number one, I wasn't sure if he did something. And number two, it's just a gas tank. Yeah, it's a Harley. Okay, whatever. And it is a blacked out Harley. It's an Iron 883. Beautiful bike, man, for just going up and down the hill. You know, to working back, it's a fantastic Harley. I love it. Love the sound of it. Love the looks of it. Everything. But I'm looking at my fuel tank, and I'm just like, oh my God, what happened here? And I was like, Sammy, what happened here? And he goes, I have no idea. And I go, well, did you use the scratchy side of this sponge? And he's like, no, I just used the soft side. And I'm kind of thinking, He did use just the soft side. So I just like, okay. I said, come on, I'll pay your money, you know. And I paid him, what did I pay him? Oh, yeah, $5 a bike. So I gave him $10 for the two bikes. And I walked away. I didn't say anything, like, ugly about the scratches in the tank or anything. I was just like, okay, well, whatever. That's what I get. And now you got to know, like, you know, most, I think, Harley owners, I don't know for sure, but they would be freaking out about their gas tank or paint job being scratched or whatever. But that's, I mean, that's part of being grandpa, right? Is, you know, yeah, you got to teach some lessons along the way, but this wasn't one of them. I'm pretty sure he didn't do it. And matter of fact, I can tell you he didn't do it. So what had happened is, probably, more than likely, this is the story, is the granddaughter, who's the youngest grandchild, had an umbrella that she was pretending it was raining out. And I think from the looks of these scratches that umbrella got kind of lowered over the seat of the Harley and the little metal ends that aren't really metal. They're kind of covered with a little cap. I think those ends kind of straddled the gas tank and, you know, dug some scratches into it. Okay, no biggie. It's actually going to be an easy fix. I'll use some, you know, black, repair paint or something. I don't know, but it, you know, so what? The kid's got to, you know, wash the bike, earn some money, ordered up his drone. He's all happy now. So, yeah, but, geez, That was really something. That was a shock to go out there and see and see the Harley with scratches and And then, so the Glock, we got that, got the new drone, the Mavic Air 2. Man, I cannot wait to fly that thing and start getting some video. You know, I bought the other one. It's called an Altair. It was pretty good entry-level drone, pretty good camera, not too expensive. So I really have enjoyed that. I think I have a feel for flying drones now, and I want, like, better camera and more flying time. This drone came, I bought an extended fly package. It has three batteries, and it's about 34-minute flight per battery, and I think it goes like 11 miles or something, like, away from you, which is kind of amazing. I don't know how I would even see a drone 11 miles away, but I guess you can use the, you know, your cell phone and an app, and, you know, the picture gets relayed back to your phone, and you can see, kind of fly by, actually kind of fly by wire, kind of being on the ground but looking at your phone and figure out your way back. And actually, these drones have like a home button, so you can just say fly home, and they actually have collision avoidance kind of built in, so if they get close to an object, they will move away from it. I don't know if that's radar or sonar or what, but you know, there's some real technology going into those drones now. So anyway, that's kind of cool. Okay, so I want to hit some quick stories today. Who knows how quick they're going to be? I'm already 20 minutes in, and hell, that was just like a little intro. Okay, but these things I think are kind of interesting. For whatever reason, I find these stories interesting. Number one, there's a story on Epic Times. I'm going to close out some tabs here. Oh, I had that one open like several times. Okay, so it must be good. No, it says more companies join the Great Migration to red states. It says as a result of its political divisions, the United States appears to now be dividing into prosperous, high-growth states and states that are suffering a chronic decline. But Democrat-run states believe that their abortion policies could be a key factor in attracting companies back. Now, why? I have no idea. But I told you, like, Oregon kind of has this plan that they're going to pay women who come here to get abortions. They're going to pay for, you know, room and board and, you know, their, I don't know, pay them while they're here. Take care of all their needs while they're here. And then, of course, you have the, and you heard me say this, I think, last show, the last one-hour show, that companies are actually going to pay women to go to get an abortion, you know, going to pay them, you know, travel and whatever. And I kind of talked about all the possibilities of, of responsibility there. If you're paying somebody to travel to an abortion, are you encouraging them, and, you know, how that's all going to play out? But it doesn't matter. So Oregon's going to, you know, going to be this abortion state. They're going to pay pay the women, women's expenses while they're here, like room and board, like I said. The women are going to go get an abortion, and they're, you know, a lot of companies are paying for it. So, you know, that's going to happen. So I'm kind of thinking there's going to be this whole brand new avenue of, and matter of fact, I was thinking about starting the first one, but it's pretty much against anything I believe in. But these, you could imagine like these abortion travel agencies. Can you imagine this? So, you know, you could just like set up a travel agency. Hey, are you planning an abortion this spring? Come to Oregon. You know, we have great, you know, steelhead fishing, or, you know, whatever, you know, mountain biking, blah, blah, blah. And you just, you know, could kind of get, kind of plug yourself into this new business adventure that Oregon's planning on doing. And the funny thing is, the reason I brought up this story is because those states that are, well, liberal or progressive or considered blue states, they think that people are going to come streaming to their states because they have these abortion policies that, you know, are, you know, well, exactly what the Supreme Court intended was that each state will make up its own mind whether or not it's going to allow abortions to be done in that state. Well, you know, Oregon, Washington, and California have decided the whole coast, the whole West Coast, is 100% full-on abortion time. So, you know, they're expecting this huge influx of businesses, number one, and people, number two, to come here and get their abortions. And they're trying to entice them like crazy, you know, offering to pay their expenses while they're here. But here's the deal. I was kind of looking at all these companies that are moving to red states. I'm going to go over some of them. It's kind of crazy. So Caterpillar and Citadel, which announced their exit from Illinois in June, are only the latest firms to leave high-tax, high-regulation states. Tesla, Hewlett-Packard, Oracle, and Remington are also among the hundreds of companies flocking out of California, Illinois, New York, and New Jersey to business-friendly places like Texas, Florida, Arizona, and Tennessee. Relocating companies have spanned industries including tech, finance, media, heavy manufacturing, autos, and firearms. So, you know, I gotta wonder. So the companies who are like thinking, like, so the states that are thinking they're gonna attract companies because they have pro-abortion, you know, regulations, you know, like, they have pro-abortion regulations. What kind of businesses are they going to attract? Like, when you see all of these, like, gigantic corporations going to business-friendly states, who, like, it sends a signal to the rest of the corporations out there, the rest of the companies out there, even startups who are thinking about starting a business. Like, it kind of sends this signal, what state to avoid or what states to avoid. And, you know, if you see, like, well, one good idea is if you're going to start a new business, unless it's the abortion travel agency idea, which, by the way, was my idea, so I'll take full credit for it. You kind of look toward other businesses to see, you know, what they're doing. Like, if you're smart at all, even if you have a brand new idea that's totally your own concept, you should still kind of look at these other companies and figure out why do they do business, where they do business, and if it's a good idea for you to do business in states that are friendlier to businesses, right? Like, you don't want to start out in a state that has the highest taxes, the highest regulations, you know, like being green energy or having a good, you know, social score so that, you know, you can get financing from the bank or whatever. Yeah, ESG score. What is that? Environment, society and government. Something like that. It's environmental, social, and government. But I'm going to name some more companies. Well, it says according to a 2022 survey of 700 CEOs, now that's a bunch, the top states for businesses are Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Arizona, and North Carolina. The worst states for business are California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, and Washington. Now imagine this. Like, California's been failing for so long. Hang on, drink time. Oh, so good. California's been failing for so long, but, like, in the last couple of years, people have been fleeing that state like crazy. And just imagine how much it costs for some of these big companies to pick up and move. Like, they have hundreds to thousands, tens of thousands of employees, and they're just saying, hey, screw you, California, we're out of here. Or screw you, Washington, we're out of here. Even companies such as Apple, which didn't move its headquarters to Texas, chose to establish its second largest campus for employees there. Amazon selected Houston as one of its prime hubs. Ford, Volkswagen, and Nissan chose Tennessee as a location for major new manufacturing facilities. and in some cases, entire industries such as firearms, which are being targeted by legislation and lawsuits in blue states, are moving south. I mean, it makes sense, right? You got to go where you can keep your business going and where people appreciate you doing business in their state. You know, when you move a business to a new state, it's not like all the employees go with the business. Yeah, probably a bunch of them do. Probably a bunch of them are happy to leave whatever state they're in, especially if it's a higher tax state or higher regulation state or both. It's like, hell yeah, let's get out of here. You know, Rochelle and I have thought many times of getting out of the state of Oregon, but like right now, it's like, this is our home, you know. It may come down to it at some point where we just sell this place. I don't know how in the hell we would do it, man. We have so much stuff here. But, you know, and like I was saying, like 20 minutes ago, we really love this spot. And we can still live in freedom here at our home. And then, you know, when the day comes that we can no longer do that, yeah, we may just not even sell everything. We may just like pack up and go if it comes to that. You know, you gotta continue to fight to live freely as much as you can. And let's see what else is. This article actually is such an excellent article. I'm going to put it in the show notes, a link to the show notes, and I really encourage you to go read it because it's really that good of an article. I'm just hitting some of the high points here. Texas was one of the first states to recover all the jobs it lost during the pandemic. Now we have a workforce that is at an all-time high. The economy has diversity and strength, whether it's energy, manufacturing, healthcare, technology, finance, you name it. The Texas economy is firing on all cylinders, and it's just one of the states that they're talking about. It says when jobs leave, people leave with them, which kind of makes sense. You know, you got to continue to make a living. Like I said, not everybody is going to move with the company, but a lot of people are. And it doesn't really matter, because when that company shows up into town and you find out they have great benefits and their pay is good and they take care of employees, or, you know, it's just the next best job that you can get, you're going to go there. So, on the other hand, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy sent personal letters to more than 50 companies in red states appealing for them to come to New Jersey. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont made a similar attempt. These governors are highlighting one regulatory advantage that they believe will give them an edge over conservative states: their permissive policies toward abortion. So, I don't know, man. You know, my kind of gut feeling is that a lot of people are really happy that Roe v. Wade got turned back to the states, that states can make their own decisions, and then, hey, let's see what happens. You know, Oregon couldn't get much worse, but it will. It will, because people, like I've said for I don't know how many years, I don't know why you would do business in Portland. As a matter of fact, who did this? I just want to go to this article for a second. This was in the Daily Mail. It says, Portland resembles an open-air drug market after decriminalizing hard drugs. Overdose deaths skyrocketed by 41% in the Democratic-led city, which is not even close. Overdose deaths have increased 700%. So this article is a little bit old, but it was written, an op-ed in the Daily Mail some time ago. It's filthy, it's disgusting. Businesses have been torn up there during the BLM riots of the past few years. Man, the windows have been broken I don't know how many times. These guys pay thousands of dollars to get these huge, beautiful storefront windows replaced. And it's not like once. It's like they did it several times over the months of protests in Portland. And by the way, I don't care if drugs are legal or not legal. I personally don't care. I think, you know, you do whatever you think you need to do. But here's a great example of what happens. You know, it's at least in the big cities, it's turning into a show, like a S show. And people are, you know, dying on the streets, a lot of overdose deaths because of fentanyl, a lot of overdose deaths because, you know, heroin and cocaine, opiates are, you know, I mean, you can't, this is something else I was going to talk about. I think I even mentioned this a little bit over the weekend. So Portland came out with these, you know, all these laws. It was like, hey, you know, you don't shoot off any fireworks in Portland, and don't, you know, fireworks are illegal in Portland. I'm thinking to myself, listen, like, you don't even, you know, you're not charging people with possession of any amount of drugs as long as it's for personal use. You're not investigating, like, person-on-person crimes or sex crimes because you don't have the personnel to do it. You're not sending cops out to 911 calls unless somebody's actually bleeding and it's significant. Like, okay, if you got punched in the head and you're still conscious, I guess, yeah, they're not going to come bother with it. But they're going to come get you for fireworks? I don't think so. So I bet, and you could tell, like, in this little town, in the 25 years we've lived here, I have never seen so many mortars going on. Now, we're out in the country, you know, and it's a small town, and it would be so easy just to be in town and see a firework going up and go, hey, that's the Harris's place, let's go up there and see what they're doing. And I mean, you know, if there were cops and if there were firemen who were available, they would be up investigating. But oh, hell no, it went on for hours and hours. And of course, we don't have city cops. We depend on the county sheriffs, and they're busy, man. Like I said, they're busy. They're not coming out to check out some fireworks celebrations. And it was really nice night for it. And it was nice and dry. And I mean, not nice and dry. It was wet. It was dry, like not raining, but it was, it had rained for a couple days. It's not really a high fire hazard. So, you know, not really too dangerous at all. But, yeah, but so Portland is going to, you know, the businesses in Portland, I said, should have left, you know, years ago. Like in the beginning of this whole BLM thing, when Mayor Wheeler and the governor of Oregon said, yeah, we're not really going to prosecute these people, you know, I mean, they're just having peaceful demonstrations, you know, while your windows are shattered and while people are looting, you know, jewelry and expensive items out of your downtown Portland businesses. And they're saying, yeah, we're not going to do anything about it. You should have known then, hey, it's time to leave. Like, it isn't going to change. It's not going to change soon enough for you to save your business. Get out. But I don't know what it is, man. Like, why people would stay and do business in that city. I mean, even if they're thinking, I don't know why this keeps making some noise. I'm going to just make one little adjustment here. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but something, the end of a wire kept banging on the computer desk, and it was actually bugging me. I hope it wasn't bugging you. But anyway, people should have left Portland a long time ago. Like, they just should have gone. But I don't know what it is about those people. Even if they were thinking that they're going to keep, that they were going to stay in Portland until the politics change, hell, they may not survive long enough for the politics to change. And there's no guarantee, especially in Oregon, that the politics are going to change. I'm not kidding. Like, this state is so far gone. Yeah, I don't see it happening. They just, you know, are in 100% support of the people in Portland, Salem, and Eugene Springfield. They're just like the greatest population of people who control the votes in the state, and the rest of us just have to, you know, go along with it. Because even if the rest of us all 100% voted opposite of them, we can't overtake them. So I would like nothing more than to see that, to see Portland crash. just become absolutely unlivable and become a zombie apocalypse where everybody is just out killing each other or whatever. Just dropping like flies, I guess. That's what I would prefer. Okay, so next thing, I guess everybody probably already knows this, but there was a police report that proved there were plainclothes officers embedded in the protests. Like, that's a big surprise to anybody. I think we all know this whole January 6th committee hearing thing is a complete joke. Oh, I'm distracted. I want to tell you guys something. So, maybe I should finish that. That's enough of that thought. I don't have to go into some deep conversation about this. We all know that there were feds embedded in the January 6th thing. We saw them encouraging people to go into the Capitol building. And, you know, they were trying to stir it up. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see in the long run that Nancy Pelosi pretty much encouraged this whole thing, because they were so desperate to, you know, make something stick to Trump, that even if they had to make it up, I think they were going to make it up. Okay, here's what was distracting me. I saw the picture of this man who shot up the parade in Highland Park, Illinois. And I heard a story yesterday that he was dressed in women's clothing. That's how he made his escape. And I was thinking to myself, wait, how do you know? How do you know he was dressed in women's clothing? I mean, you can't even tell what a woman is. So how would you be able to tell that he was in a woman's clothing? Like, you see the hypocrisy of these stupid things that we go through every single day. It's real, and you have to, like, you really have to prepare your mind for, you know, a daily encounter of any kind of news. I mean, unless you go to some independent news sources where they really kind of talk logically and make sense and all that stuff. But, yeah, it really caught me by surprise, because they're all, you know, number one, I guess they haven't figured out how to connect this guy to Trump yet, or white supremacy, or whatever, you know, to make their story, you know, to give their story some flash and get back on the assault weapon ban, you know, again and all that stuff. But they have figured out how to tell that he was in woman's clothing, I guess, which is kind of amazing. You know, we just needed a couple things. So see, there was this huge confusion just a few months ago. The new Supreme Court justice, I don't even know her name because I don't care. You can tell she's just not qualified to take the position. She couldn't even define what a woman is because she said she's not a biologist. But as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, everybody knew who a woman was. I said this before, because the definition became pretty clear. Hey, get your hands off my uterus. You know, I heard that. I saw the signs. And then this guy, you know, shoots up a parade, kills, I don't know how many people, and, you know, fired what, oh God, some ungodly number of rounds, and, injured dozens of people, killed, I don't know, 10, 15 people, 7, 8, I don't know, killed too many, but, he left in women's clothing. So we just need a couple. See, all you need is a couple real, you know, emotionally stirring stories that brings out the definition of what a woman is, I guess. So we've had two now, which has really helped us with the definition of what a woman is, which I'm hoping, you know, we may be able to kind of solve this mystery anytime soon. All right, so China's human rights violations. Oh, this was an awesome story. This is just fantastic. So, of course, this is hearsay. Okay, this is just gossip. So a former Japanese criminal gang member says he was a witness of China's live organ trade. So check this out. Having seen an anesthetized Falun Gong adherent with tendons cut to prevent his flight. I guess that means Achilles tendons. I don't know. Shortly before the man was placed on the operating table to have his liver carved out. So he was alive. I mean, they are getting fresh organs for the, you know, organ trade market. But you can bet, I mean, they're banking on this stuff, you know, so they have the, you know, they get the DNA match, they find out, you know, the blood type and they match it. And when somebody calls for an organ, they just go through their database and find one of these religious prisoners and they're like, oh, guess what? We need your liver. Come on, we're going to the operating room. And off they go. They make sure the recipient's ready to receive the organ and booyah. They take your liver and guess what? You can't live without a liver and they don't care anyway because you've just been a religious pain in their butt for however long. And yeah, that's it. Okay, what's next? Because I'm cruising here. I'm going to be done in just a minute. Oh yeah, how about this WNBA player who took some cannabis? So this is what happens. When you think that you're somebody that you really aren't, so she took some cannabis stuff in a vape pen or who knows, oil, whatever. The point is, when you go to another country, and guess what she's finding out? She's finding out they're not very tolerant. Like they have rules and laws that they actually adhere to and they actually prosecute people for. So they don't care if you're a WNBA, you know, superstar. They don't care. You had cannabis. They don't want any of that stuff in their country. We're talking about Russia. They're not going to allow, you know, kind of this whole penetration of their, you know, traditions, supposedly. I'm sure there is. Trust me, there's got to be that. Of course there's stuff like that going on in Russia because they have laws against it and they have people doing time for it. But anyway, yeah, you're a WNBA star and you're just going to take your personal amount of cannabis to Russia. Because you have something to do there. I don't know if she was there for a game or not. It really doesn't matter. You know, they arrested her. They put her in jail. They're going to try her. She's going to do time. She's going to be found guilty. I mean, come on. It's Russia. Yeah, and we don't care about, I mean, they don't care about you whining to your freaking, you know, president, who I am sure, you know, Putin and the Russian, you know, legal system is just like, oh, we can't wait to hear this coming from President Biden begging to get this WNBA star out of there. Yeah, I just don't think that's going to turn out well for us. He's going to be there a while, I would assume. Yeah, I mean, unless we have some fantastic spy, Russian spy that Russia's dying to get back. They may make a trade, something like that. Did you guys see today that natural gas and nuclear power has become green? This is a fantastic story. Holy crap, I'm going to go the whole hour, aren't I? Yeah, I'm going to come close. Okay, so this is the craziest thing. In blow for green hardliners, vote allows natural gas and nuclear into key European Union taxonomy. Members of the European Parliament, why can't I talk, voted on July 6th, I guess because I don't normally say members of European Parliament, MEPs, voted on July 6th not to reject adding nuclear and natural gas activities to the European Union taxonomy for sustainable investments. So basically what they said was, you know what, it sucks being without power. Like this whole green agenda thing is, you know, cute, but we need power. Like, and especially if we're going to have 100 bajillion electric cars, well, we need power because we need to power them. And guess what? We need to quit killing people when a temperature gets over 100 degrees, and we need to quit killing people when the temperature gets below 0 degrees, and we need to quit killing people just because they don't have, you know, the electricity to maintain a decent level of life. I guess it kind of sucks to be without power. Now, will the United States learn from this? I doubt it. You know, are things going to change in the next year or so? God, I hope so. But you never know. You really do never know. But, I mean, this is kind of crazy. So even though they did kind of clear these two energies to be green energies, and you know that has got to be driving that Greta chick crazy. What's her name? Oh, Thunberg. Yeah, I bet she's just freaking going to lose her ever-loving mind over this one. But here's the deal. Yeah, you can't live life without power. Okay, let me restate that. Everybody who's alive today can't live life without power. Yeah, there's going to be a great culling of the human population when we start not having power. More and more people are going to die in those situations where you need some climate control, where you need to cook food, where you need to keep food at a temperature that is safe and doesn't grow bacteria. Like, there's a lot of reasons to, like, need power 24/7. Not rolling blackouts, not rolling brownouts. You know, you got to have power. And you can't switch to a new power system when that system doesn't exist. Right? Like, you should try and make some of those changes, yeah, to the new power system. But until you have enough power in place to replace the power you're already using, you're going to kill a lot of people. You're going to kill a lot of people. Like, you know, Biden is just steadfast because I think the people who are pulling his strings, the, you know, puppet masters there, the marionettes, they're not going to let him back down. He's going to ride this one to death, because who in the hell cares? The dude's old. He's senile. He has mostly doesn't have any idea where he is or what he's doing most of the time. And, you know, what do they care? The people who are controlling him, they're like, he'll be gone soon. And then, you know, Kamala will get in there and we'll change everything and she'll be hugely popular and, you know, everybody will vote her in for the next term, which I don't see that happening. But I also said nobody named Barack Hussein Obama would ever be elected president. I was wrong about that one. Man, was I wrong about that one. We're still paying the price for that. Let's see, what else do we have? Anything fun? Anything fun in my notes today? No, that sucks. Maybe I know this is what we can do. Hey, thanks you guys for joining me. So today is my 16th anniversary, with Rochelle. And I just want to tell you, I mean, when I said before we were sitting together, kind of, you know, counting our blessings and looking at what we have, we literally couldn't do it without each other. I have no idea in the world why she has put up with me for this long. We've known each other since 1997. We've been married since 2006. I'm not kidding when I say I would not have the stuff that I have today. I would not be the man that I am today, whether that's good or bad. You know, that's a decision you can make for yourselves. But I think that the person I am today, I wouldn't be the person I am today without her. I am so grateful to have a family, to have kids and to have grandkids and to be able to experience that every day and to have a beautiful place to live that, I'm not kidding. My wife works tirelessly on this place to keep it running and to do, you know, make it beautiful and make it functional. And I said, you know, I really don't do anything. I mean, so when I say that, I hope you understand. Like, I understand. I do some stuff, but what I do here is so small compared to what the rest of my family does. And yeah, I go to work, you know, I go and make the money, some of the money to help keep this place going. But I'm not kidding. This place would not be anything like it is without my fantastic wife. like working constantly, always having something to do, always knowing what's next, you know, what's coming next in the season, what do we have to pay attention to. The gardens are looking great. I don't know if you guys saw this weekend, or maybe I didn't I didn't post it yet. So this weekend I was out at the fountain, and I was looking for snakes because it's warming up enough, you know, that snakes should start coming out. I had three snakes within a 4-foot diameter circle, three snakes in this one spot. And I was like, this is so fantastic that we have created this environment that's healthy enough for all the wild critters. And, you know, the only wild critters, the only wild critters that we don't allow to stay on our property is if they are damaging, like, a food supply. So, you know, coons can come in and they can go as long as they don't stop and take a chicken along the way. Same with bobcats, same with coyotes, same with, you know, cougars and bear and whatever. As long as they're, you know, passing through and they don't harm our livelihood, they're allowed to pass through. And it's amazing to me. We are bird watchers also, because we created this environment that we have, you know, a bajillion different kinds of birds come through here. Hell, we saw a kestrel fly by yesterday. We have falcons. We have osprey that visit overhead. They don't nest here or anything. Bald eagles, ravens, vultures, bluebirds, blue jays, stellar jays, grosbeaks. I mean, I can go on and on. We have this huge bunch of hummingbirds that we've kept them fed year round. Anyway, the environment here is so beautiful, you know, because like I don't like mice or rats. So to see that we're, you know, keeping the snake population healthy, and that they actually want to, you know, stay and kind of help out with pest control, we love that, even though we kind of hate that one time period during the year where there's actually a part of our crawl space that they use to reproduce, and it smells like snakes, man. When I don't know if you've ever, you know, got that snake musk on you from handling a snake, it's stinky. And they get under there and they start that whole you know, like the garter snakes, they do that whole, breeding ball. And I know they're under there because I can smell them. Like, it's just like a couple week period where, you know, they're down there doing this mating dance, and who knows how many of them are down there. It's kind of scary. Maybe this year I'll put the GoPro on the RC car and we'll go videotape it a little bit. But oh my God. So we even put up with that because we know that the more snakes we have, the less rodents we'll have, which is awesome. Love less rodents, man. You know, we've had a battle with rodents a few times. Hell, even in the last week, we found mouse droppings in the silverware drawer. Okay, so I know you're thinking, well, what kind of a crap hole do you live in? We don't. Our house is very clean, constantly cleaned. But mice find a way in, man. And when they find a way in, they just go wherever. I mean, they'll find whatever they're looking for, food or warmth or cooling off or whatever. Sometimes they're just looking for nest building material. But what they see in that silverware drawer, I have no idea. But, you know, when you find a dropping in your silverware drawer, God dang, you got to take that whole thing apart. Wash all the silverware, wash the drawer, sterilize it, try and catch the damn mouse, which luckily we have pebbles for. And she's been very good at, you know, we leave her, let her roam the house at night. And a week ago, she caught two mice in one night. She had them both here in the man cave. One was still alive. And one, of course, didn't make it. Anyway, neither one of them made it because, it's a long story. No, it's a short story and funny, too. I shot it with an airsoft pellet gun in the man cave. It was hilarious. And yeah, but anyway, it's kind of cool, like three snakes in a 6 foot diameter area. And I actually had to look kind of closely for there was actually a fourth snake. He was in the top of a bush, but he was about 15 yards away from those other three. But yeah, I'll try and post those videos at some point. It's just kind of cool. There won't be any narration with it, more than likely. But the videos, they'll be up on Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. But anyway, it is a beautiful life, and I really hope that everybody finds that time daily. Just enjoy the peace, enjoy the quiet, because it can get overwhelming, like hearing about these shootings. And I that's something else. I'm no longer going to call these gun crimes. I'm not doing that anymore. From now on, I'm calling them human crimes. The guns didn't do it. The car didn't do it. The sword didn't do it. The knife didn't do it. The bomb didn't do it. The crime is a human crime. And humans are responsible, not guns. I made this whole joke in the beginning about buying a non-assault weapon, Glock. It's a joke, right? It could be an assault weapon, although most people who claim that you shouldn't own assault weapons couldn't define one. And when they try and define it, if you show them what they're talking about, they have no idea. You could show them a freaking Nerf gun, and they would probably think that's a horrible gun. Matter of fact, I saw somebody do that recently. Anyway, take time to enjoy life, to enjoy your people. Right now, really, honestly, this is some of the few things you can count on right now is yourself and your family, and what you have going on right now. So, I don't know how much time we have. Hell, we almost went a whole hour anyway. And I was going to cut it short to go spend some time with my wife. And we are going to do that. We're going to head right to the hot tub here pretty dang quickly. I don't know how much time we have. Let's see here. Oh, we have like 2 minutes. That's like perfect time. Yeah. So, I have fun doing this podcast. I really do. I think Real Liberty Media is going to be changing. We are going to grow this. There's a big kind of a, well, what do you want to call it? Kind of a recovery period from the time that Grimner had this and his passing, and there's been some other things going along, that kind of has slowed down the progress, but things are going to get better, and we're going to change and grow, and I'm looking forward to that growth. I know that doing a podcast and doing some streaming is something that I really love doing myself. So if you want to check out the Redneck Dennis on Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, check out some of my videos. I record going to work on my motorcycle, so I can do like this little 5 minute thing. I've been having a blast doing that. And you can check out those videos. Sometimes you get to see some wildlife because there's a lot of wildlife up here, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just a boring trip down the hill. But anyway, thank you guys for joining me and being part of this whole thing. I've really had a great time, and I don't know for sure if I'll see you Saturday because I'm working Saturday doing some dentistry, which means I'll get done at 5. I'll be coming in, hot. I'll be coming in hot. That's what I'll be doing. So hopefully I have just enough time to prepare, and we'll do a show. And if not, it'll be something like this. I guess it was probably okay. Hey, thanks, you guys. I'll see you Saturday or whenever. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dennis podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.